Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is Thursday, the 11th of February. And on today's show, we're going to do a special thing. We're going to do a Throwback Thursday. And on this show, the topic is going to be the top non-playoff New York Giant wins. So I went back in history, racked my brains a little bit, came up with a list of games that really stood out for one reason or another, and just going to mention them, kind of take a little trip down memory lane, a pleasant trip since they're all wins and they all had significance for one reason or another, and, you know, we'll just share them. And if you have a specific, you know, Giant game that isn't mentioned here that you fondly remember, let me know. Drop me a line at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Also, before we get started with today's show, reminder, the deadline to apply for Fan Appreciation Week is Friday. You can also request an application by writing to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. You can get an application by texting the word Big Blue, all one word, to 474747. Message, standard message and data rates may apply. So I'll be looking at applications received over the weekend. It takes just a few minutes to fill them out. Nothing, you know, complex or anything like that. And I will be looking at them over the weekend and start planning to contact people probably early next week. Those people, who applied and who made a compelling case and whatnot for, you know, have an interesting story or something that they want to share. So I'm looking forward to that. I really am. I like shows where I get an opportunity to interact with you guys and gals, whether it be through a Twitter Tuesday or, you know, this Fan Appreciation Day. So it should be a lot of fun and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so top New York Giant wins. Now, the criteria I use is they had to be non-playoffs, and they also had to be fairly recent, like post-1970, which is when the AFL-NFL merger was. So, you know, events like the greatest game ever played, the sneakers game, that sort of thing, those don't count, or those didn't make the cut in this listing. So let's start off with a few of them. And I'm going to start off with week 16 of the 2008 season, when the Giants, in an overtime win, was against the Panthers, absolutely took control of that game with running the ball. Now, that game, for those who don't remember, the Giants were down 21-10 at half, and they basically leaned on their running game to bring them back. Usually when a team is down by that kind of margin, you would think they would pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. Not the Giants. They went to their running game because in 2008, remember, the Giants had the number one rushing offense in the NFL. That was the year I believe they had 2 1,000-yard rushers. Brandon Jacobs, I want to say, was one. And I think Derek Ward was the other. So at stake in this particular game was the number one playoff seed in the NFC conference. And the Giants actually came back from a 21-10 deficit to win the game in overtime. Now, at the time, Panthers kicker John Casey did miss a field goal, which certainly helped things. But Derek Ward broke off a big run in the overtime period, which led to a 2-yard touchdown run that won the game for the Giants. And it was just a huge, huge win because the Giants in 2008 did go on to get the number one seed. And unfortunately, they were bounced in 2008. Didn't go very far, unfortunately. So, but it was a good game. I remember that game. I remember sitting in the press box where I was sitting in the press box. And, you know, I thought the Giants were done and they proved me wrong. So, okay, next game I want to mention, the 1990 Week 7 game against the then Phoenix Cardinals. That game marked a huge fourth quarter comeback by Giants backup quarterback Jeff Hostetler. Now, in the 1990 season, Phil Sims was the starter, and he unfortunately broke his leg, I believe, against Buffalo, in a regular season game against Buffalo, who the Giants would go on to face in the Super Bowl, that 1990 Super Bowl, Super Bowl 25. So Jeff Hostetler came in, and back in the day, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better backup quarterback than Jeff Hostetler. This is a guy who actually a couple times almost quit the game because he just wasn't getting anywhere with his career. You know, he had Phil Sims in front of him and whatnot. So this particular game, the Giants were down 19-10 with about 5 minutes or so to play. And Hostetler basically engineered a touchdown drive down the field. And after they kind of pulled within, I think they pulled within two or something like that, the defense came up with a huge, huge stop. And Hostetler went back to work, led the offense down the field again, and this time they got him into field goal range where Matt Barr kicked a winning field goal. And the Giants, who at the time were undefeated, added another one, another win to the win column, and they were undefeated. And a key takeaway of that game was how clutch kicker Matt Barr was. Back in those days, I mean, Matt Barr would then go on to kick, I think, five field goals in the NFC Championship that year against the 49ers. Just really clutch. If you think of Graham Gano of today and how clutch he was, that was Matt Barr back in the day. So that was a big and memorable win for the Giants. All right, next one is comes from my favorite season, and that is Week 15 in 2007 against Buffalo. And the big play in that game was Ahmad Bradshaw's 88-yard run that sent the Giants to the playoffs. Now, back then, I was able to travel to the road games, but I didn't make that trip to Buffalo. Silly reason. The reason why I didn't go is because I'm not a big fan of snow, and I didn't want to fly up to Buffalo and get stuck there and, you know, have to drive on snow and ice. I just don't like to do it. And, you know, so I got an exemption, and I ended up covering that game from home. But anyway, what I remember about that one was, you know, that 2007 season was a bit of a roller coaster. That was the year the Giants went into the playoffs as a wild card. I think they were the fifth seeded team, if I'm not mistaken. So they went into the playoffs, but that run by Ahmad Bradshaw, it was an 88-yard run. Boy, I remember that because just as it was, the weather, there was precipitation falling, and I remember how he just burst to the right, to the left side of the formation, and he was off to the races. I mean, the Giants needed to win that game in order to keep their playoff hopes alive. And sure enough, they did that. It was the first drive, carry of a drive that took place with about 6.5 minutes or so left. And Bradshaw just went 88 yards to, you know, all the way to the house there. And just, wow. That run was pretty amazing. Just, Bradshaw was back in those days, he was just a little dynamo. And of course, he went on to have a big, big showing in the postseason run. So big game for the Giants and a big win that kept their playoff hopes alive in that particular game. All right, Giant fans, you're listening to Locked on Giants with Patricia Traynor. This is a Throwback Thursday. We are going over some of the greatest modern era Giant wins, non-playoff wins. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more memories after this. With the ever-increasing number of auto makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait for the counterperson to order the parts on a computer, usually choosing the brands that the store happens to prefer? Instead, take your search for your auto parts to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business
serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all your auto parts and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic or daily drive, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. That's RockAuto.com.
Hey, Giant fans. This is Patricia Traina, host of the Locked On Giants podcast. If you're looking for a way to keep Giants football in the forefront during this offseason, pick up a copy of my new book, The Big 50 New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This 350-plus page book takes a deep dive into the rich history of the Giants franchise, covering every era with stories, photos, and more that take you behind the headlines. The Big 50 New York Giants is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TriumphBooks.com, and wherever books are sold. Pick up your copy today, and thank you to everyone for your support. And welcome back, Giant fans, to segment two of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and we are doing a Throwback Thursday, some of the greatest non-playoff modern era wins in Giants history, taking a stroll down memory lane. And, you know, we did this last week during Super Bowl week with guests Mark Collins and Leonard Marshall. And that was a lot of fun. And I hope you find this particular show a lot of fun. And would like to hear what some of your favorite Giant memories were, non-playoff wins that really stand out to you for one reason or another. You know, maybe it was the tailgate. Maybe you met your significant other at the game, whatever the case might be. If you have a memory you want to share it with us, drop me a letter, LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. And February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. Don't miss this week's episode featuring Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discussing the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. There's a new episode coming next week, so go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's get back to some Giant memories, shall we? This next one, I don't think I'm ever going to forget this one. This was the Wellington Mara tribute game. It was 2005, week 8 against Washington. And Wellington Mara, the beloved patriarch of the Giants, had passed away before that game. And I just remember, you know, when the news came, Wellington had had cancer. And he passed away because of cancer. And I remember going to the funeral. I mean, the funeral was held at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And, oh, my goodness, it was a packed, packed house for Wellington Mara's funeral. And just a very, very emotional setting. And it just, wherever you turn, you had former Giant legends sitting near you. I remember I had Mark Bavaro sitting in front of me, and I think I want to say it was Bill Ard, I think, was behind me. Basically, the whole place was just filled with Giants legends, dignitaries, NFL VIPs, a lot of former Giants had come in, you know, who were with other teams. You know, Bill Belichick came in, Bill Parcells came in at the time, Romeo Crennel, you know, all former Giants who might have been with other teams came back for Wellington Mara's funeral. And let me tell you, folks, that was a funeral absolutely fit for a camp. So anyway, we get to the game, and I remember that whole week kind of being a very sullen week, obviously. You know, everybody kind of sad having lost Wellington Mara. And, you know, unfortunately, he didn't get to see the Giants Super Bowls of 2007, 2011. Some of the Giant players of that team, Tiki Barber and particularly Jeremy Shockey, I remember, all guys who were just really, they took, you know, Mr. Mara's death especially hard because he was like a father to a lot of those guys. But anyway, for that game, a couple of things really stood out. First off, I remember the beautiful, beautiful tribute that they had to Wellington Mara and how for the national anthem, all of his grandchildren and I believe his great-grandchildren came out to midfield where one of his oldest grandchildren, Kate Mara, sang the national anthem. And I'm usually not a big fan of, you know, special guests for the national anthem. I tend to be more old school, you know, give me a military band performing it and I'm happy. But I have to give kudos here because Kate Mara's version was not only beautiful. I mean, if you didn't have a tear fall from your eye listening to her version, then you just didn't have a heart because it was just so moving, so touching. And you can just see her kind of struggling to keep her composure, to get the words out. It was just a really, really beautiful song amongst the beautiful sight of all of Wellington Mara's children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And in the game itself, what better way to honor Mr. Mara than with a 36-0 win over the Washington football team, who at the time was really one of the Giants' biggest rivals. And, you know, Tiki Barber, I think, had something like 206 yards that game. Did score a touchdown. If I remember the story that Tiki told me, he presented the game ball to Tim McDonald, who was one of Wellington's grandchildren. And just really a touching moment, and you know, because it was all about the tribute to Wellington Mara. You know, a few weeks later, the team would lose Bob Tisch in what was another emotionally charged week. And you know, while I don't remember them doing as big of a tribute type deal with Bob Tisch, you know, they honored him obviously, but you know, for the Giants to lose both of their owners in the same season and within a few weeks of each other, I mean, goodness gracious, that was certainly a big challenge for the Giants. And they came through it, but fell a little bit short of their goal to honor both fallen men with a run to the Super Bowl. So, all right, sticking with the 2005 season, the week before was Eli Manning's Welcome to the NFL moment. That was his one of his best fourth quarter comebacks ever. The at that time, the Giants were down, I think it was against Denver. The Giants were down 23-10 in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter. And Eli, just, you know, who was the king of the fourth quarter comeback, put together a drive for the moment, for the ages. There was, let me see, I think Eli engineered a drive that went about 80 yards and connected with Amani Toomer with 5 seconds remaining to win that game. And it was just, you know, you always knew Eli was going to be something special. He had shown flashes of it, but that was really, you know, that was his second season, his first full season as a starter. And boy, to watch the ice in his veins and how he moved that ball down the field was something pretty, pretty special, I thought. Eli Manning, just, you know, an amazing, amazing quarterback. There's never going to be another one like him. And, you know, I said this after Phil Sims retired from the Giants back in the early 90s. I said there would never be another Phil Sims and Giant fans would miss him. Well, Eli Manning came along, and I think he took over most of Phil's records, if not all of his franchise records. And the Giants are going to be really hard-pressed to replace Eli Manning because he was just that special of a player. All right, Giant fans, you are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynham. We've got a Throwback Thursday special here where we're taking a walk down memory lane, talking about some of the greatest non-playoff wins in Giants history from recent years, 1980s up onward. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, a few more on tap for this special walk down memory lane. Stay with us. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your sportsbook expert. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 3 of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traynham here with you on this Throwback Thursday. We are taking a walk down memory lanes, recalling some of my favorite New York Giants wins, non-playoff variety. Wins that are fairly recent, and by recent I mean within my lifespan, specifically years from 1980s onward. Just been kind of a fun time going back and putting this list together. I hope you've been enjoying it. And we have a few more that I want to get in on this segment before we call it a show. But first, Thursdays on Locked On NFL are a must-listen as Ryan Tracy and Jake Liskow break down teams across the NFL from an analytics and team-building perspective. Get the expert analysis on your favorite teams from Ryan and Jake every Thursday. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so these last three memories that I want to talk about all come from the 1986 season. Now, to give you guys a little perspective, especially if you were too young or maybe you weren't around in 1986, 1986 was the type of season that if I had to compare a more modern day season, I would compare 2007. There was just something about the 1986 Giants team. Now, at the time, I was a fan. I wasn't covering that team. It was my first year of college, so I was, you know, just a daughter of a man who had season ticket holder, you know, was a season ticket holder for a number of years. But that 1986 team just had a certain it factor. And when I go back and I look at Giants history, that same it factor was present on the 2007 team. And call it swagger, call it, you know, a quiet confidence, whatever you want to call it. They just had it. And just everything just kind of fell their way as they marched on through opponent after opponent and went all the way to a Super Bowl. In 1986, of course, the first ever Super Bowl championship in Giants history. And in 2007, the fourth the third Super Bowl championship. It was the fourth appearance. But the third Super Bowl championship in team history. So let's look at three memories from 1986. Kicking it off, got to go with week 11 against the Minnesota Vikings, 4th and 17. That one, you talk about memories. There was about a minute 12 left in the game, and the Giants, I think, were down at the time. They were down by a field goal. Phil Sims connected with Bobby Johnson on a 4th and 17 play along the sideline. It was a really remarkable catch. I mean, not quite like a, you know, David Tyree's helmet catch, but, you know, just... If I had to compare it, I would almost put it like, maybe Mario Manningham's catch in the Super Bowl 46. That would be the closest thing I could come up with. But that particular play set up a Raul Alegre field goal that he made and gave the Giants a 22-20 win. And again, the Giants were rolling to NFC dominance that year. They were going to be the number one seeded team. And they just kept winning and winning and winning. And that game, boy, that 4th-and-17, I remember seeing that highlight played over and over again. I mean, you just can't get sick of that highlight. It's like you can't get sick of the helmet catch or the tiptoe catch or Hakeem Nicks's Hail Mary catch against the Packers in the playoffs. So it was just one of those plays that was just, you know, where were you when it happened, you know? All right, sticking along 1986, in week 4 of that season against the New Orleans Saints, Mark Bavaro, who was, you know, well-known tight end, probably, I would say, one of the top tight ends in Giants franchise history in the modern era. You know, others have come and gone, you know, Shockey and whatnot, but Bavaro, to me, is still tops. And there has yet to really be anyone who has come close to doing what Bavaro could do. Bavaro was a great blocker. He was a receiver, and he was one tough SOB, let me tell you. Back in the day, they nicknamed him Rambo because he bore a slight resemblance to Sylvester Stallone, who played Rambo in the movies. And Bavaro, who was a very religious man, took exception to the comparison because I guess John Rambo, I never saw the franchise, so I'm just guessing here, but if I'm not mistaken, I think the character of John Rambo was a mercenary or something like that, and Bavaro would take exception to being, you know, referred to as Rambo. But anyway, in that week 4 game, Bavaro broke his jaw when the Giants were down 17-0 in the second quarter. Now, losing Mark Bavaro was a big deal because he was such an integral part of their offense. And the thought of losing him for the game just, you know, had the Giants in a bit of a panic. But here's the thing. They didn't lose Bavaro for the game because he went in. He had his jaw wired shut, was ready to go back in the game. And Bill Parcells, the head coach at the time, did put him back in the game. And Bavaro finished that day with over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown as the Giants would come from behind to beat the Saints. Now, what was kind of funny, and I can laugh about it now, but I can imagine how painful it must have been for Bavaro back in the day. But he had to have his jaw wired shut for about 6 weeks or so, which meant he couldn't eat. He ended up drinking his food through a straw. And I think he only missed one game, if I'm not mistaken, during that stretch. But he even lost a little bit of weight because he was on a liquid diet. But, you know, you talk about toughness. You talk about perseverance and whatnot. How many guys do you know would break their jaw and then get it wired shut and come back out and run the risk of, you know, maybe doing, God forbid, more damage? I mean, that was Mark Bavaro. And that's why, you know, he was a Rambo, you know. He, again, no disrespect or anything like that, but the guy was tough as nails. And I think, by far, the greatest tight end the Giants have had in the modern era. And that includes Shockey, who was pretty, you know, amazing with some of the things he did. All right, speaking of Bavaro, our last memory that I want to talk about came in week 13 of the 1986 season against the San Francisco 49ers. That was the time when Mark Bavaro carried Ronnie Lott and a bunch of 49ers about 20 yards down the field after making a reception. I mean, good Lord, Mark Bavaro, the way he carried these guys on his back, fighting for the extra yards after the catch, was quite the sight. To set the scene for you, the Giants were losing 17-0 at halftime, and Bavaro caught a pass, I think, up the seam. It was over the middle of the field, And he carried Ronnie Lott, the Hall of Fame cornerback. Red Ellison's father at the time was on the 49ers. He was in on trying to drag Bavaro down. There had to be about, I want to say about five or six 49ers who were trying to drag Bavaro down to the ground. And they finally got him down to the ground, but not before he got the first down and a big play gain, which, you know, really served as a spark for that Giants team that night. And the Giants would go on to have a comeback win. I think they scored 21 points in that half, and they beat the 49ers in what was just an amazing and inspiring game. So Mark Bavaro, you know, if you were talking about the Tough Soldier Award for that season, you got to give him that, you know, give him serious consideration, because the guy was just an absolute beast, doing things that, you know, you just wouldn't see done today, because, you know, it's such a different era and, you know, different rules and whatnot. But my gosh, that 86 team, like I said, you know, the closest thing you have to it is 2007, a little bit different in personality and whatnot, but, in terms of toughness, in terms of resiliency, that team had it all, folks. All right, Giant fans, that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Giants. I hope you enjoyed this little walk down memory lane on this Throwback Thursday. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow on the schedule, we have Free Agency Friday. So we'll close out the week with Free Agency Friday, and then we'll send you off into the weekend, our first full weekend without any kind of football. It's going to be weird, but hopefully y'all have plans and stay safe wherever you are. And until then, have a great, great day.